You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified Podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw, and today I'm talking to Taylor Proctor. Now, Taylor is a transformational happiness mentor, a happiness podcaster, and a speaker. And the podcast that she has over 500 episodes on is called Happiness Abound. Now, what Taylor does is she actually helps individuals who find themselves wishing for more purpose, peace, and happiness discover their personal happiness routines. And together, she helps them uncover and implement the life that they've always dreamed of. So thank you so much for being here today, Taylor.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Absolutely. I'm super pumped. We were just getting acquainted with some of the themes and different areas that you help people work in. And I feel like this episode is going to be so impactful for all the health and fitness influencers out there that will be listening today. And there's just so many key things that I think they're really going to take away in terms of helping them grow their business, but also being able to avoid that burnout and make sure that they're really focused on the right things. So I'm excited to dig in. So maybe you can start off by telling us how you got into what you do as a transformational happiness mentor. Like, that's obviously I want to say a niche, because you don't often hear that. Like, I help people find happiness. So how did you come to do that? Where did that start?
So I think, like all great stories, it starts with me. And if you can imagine, I was the most miserable and angry person that I have ever met. I was so consumed with sadness that I tried to protect myself with anger. And I had no self-worth. I was fighting with my husband all the time. I was putting off the things that I wanted to do in my life. I was procrastinating on that front. And it just felt like everything around me was chaos. And bless my husband, he was kind of sick of the fighting and the angry all the time. And he said to me one day, but he said it several times, but one day it finally clicked. He said, "Where did you go? You used to be so happy, and now you're just angry all the time." And I was in that space finally where it kind of clicked, and I realized that if I didn't change things, that I was going to be miserable, right? I was probably going to end my marriage in divorce. And he wasn't saying that at all, but, like, you know, your brain goes, "Oh, wait a minute here," right? Yeah. So probably going to end my relationship in divorce. I looked at my career and I was getting passed up for opportunities, promotions, and projects because I wasn't having good relationships with other people because I was angry all the time. So and I wasn't making more money or anything like that because I was stagnant and putting things off and angry and had no self-worth. And even physically, I was buffering all these negative emotions by eating and not working out and just sitting there and binge watching TV. And oh, your audience will cringe, but I was eating cans of frosting while I sat on the couch. Like, it was a mess. And when my husband had said that to me, I finally realized that this is something I wanted to change. And when I looked at what I truly wanted, I realized that I just wanted to be happy. And I think the desire to be happy is inherent across all humans, right? We all want to be happy. If we look at whatever goal we have and you whittle it down, you ask why 10 times, you're going to get down to, "I want to be happy." Mm-hmm. And so I started to put things in place to help me on that journey. But one of the biggest things that I realized was my roadblock after I figured out all the first part Mm-hmm. Was I had this idea in my mind that while my desire was inherent, I believed that happiness itself was inherent. And so when I wasn't feeling it and I was feeling overcome and overwhelmed and burned out in that teeter-totter of trying to go so hard and figure it all out and then just being brought down, I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. I realized that I expected I should be happy. And when I wasn't, I was beating myself up over it. Mm-hmm. I realized I needed to change that expectation. And right. So by changing it from believing that happiness is inherent, but instead it's a skill to be worked on and achieved and worked towards, learned, I could then take happiness back into my own control. And I discovered the happiness habits and routines to help me be happy every single day and to avoid that burnout and to avoid feeling that chaos and the anger and all of those things. And if I did feel them, being able to work through them so that I could come back on the other side. And then I realized after doing that for several years and looking back going, wow, I actually am pretty happy. This is awesome. It worked. Mm-hmm. I realized that there's probably a lot of other people in the world out there who were like I was, or they are like I was. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to help take my 5 to 7 years journey and help them not have to go through it for that long and to figure out their happiness habits and routines early on and escalate that path. So when they hit those next levels, they're ready, they're prepared, and they can keep on moving on.
Yeah. A couple things stand out to me. I think that a lot of the health and fitness coaches and influencers out there, I usually find that they have come from a deep transformation themselves. You know, there's been something that has struck them as like, there's got to be something a little bit better out there for me than this. So I think coaching in itself is this transformational journey that not only you take, but then you're like, okay, there are other people out there that need this journey as well. And I want to help them see the other side. So it is, you know, I think sometimes the perception can be that health and fitness people like I've always had it all together. And I've just found it to be, they can relate the most because they've been there. But the other thing that I'm curious about, because I think I'm going to make an assumption and say most of us can say we've been there in terms of waking up one day and finding ourselves really unhappy and not sure, like, where did this come from? How did this start? And how do I actually start digging my way out? So when it comes to this, like when you think about your story and what you went through, were there any key things that you think led to that place that you got to that would be just for those listening out there that may be feeling like I could be in the same place as what you were describing? Like, was there anything that stands out?
Well, it's interesting because I wish there was some lightning bolt moment where I was like, and this event changed me forever and I became angry. But truth be told, like, when I was younger, I was happy, outgoing, go lucky, all those things. And my husband actually knew me when I was younger, which is why he was like, where did you go? Uh-huh. But as I moved into adulthood, life kind of kicks you around. I had a first marriage. I got divorced. I had a nephew who was killed in a car accident at the age of 3. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that happened. I went from my job stable and surrounded by my family to I moved to an entirely different state without any support system, right? There were so many different things happened that I created the habits that helped me keep the anger. And mm-hmm. it wasn't just one pivotal moment, but if I was to rank it on a scale, and I do this with my clients as well, when mm-hmm. we first start working together, I say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you generally? Not like today, this instant, but over a week, like, are you mostly happy or are you mostly unhappy? Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like you're overjoyed, happiest you've ever been in your life and things are amazing. And most of the people that I work with come to me in that 2 to 3 range. Mm-hmm. And what's so interesting about that is that's where I was. Mm-hmm. I was in that 2 to 3 range where I was like, I still have hope that something can change. I can do this. I can figure my way out of this. But I've tried so many other things and I just keep on reverting back to this anger habit. And I keep on reverting back to the space I don't want to be in. And that's in that 2 to 3. So I would say regardless of what's happened in your life, mm-hmm. it could be way more traumatic than the things that happened to me or even less traumatic. It doesn't matter so much of like what happened. It's how you have transitioned your life to recover or to accommodate for that. And asking yourself in that scale of 1 to 10, where do you land? Because there's an option there. If you're in that 2 to 3 range, or you're in any range that's lower than you want to be, really, mm-hmm. you can put in the happiness routines and habits in place, and that the self-care essentially in place to build that up from a 2 to a 3 to, like, in a 10 week period, a 7, an 8, a 9, right? Mm-hmm. And dare I say, a 10.
Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense. And the reason that I ask that is that I think I once had a really great therapist tell me that people that are very highly functioning, you know, like all of the people that are listening to the show that are entrepreneurs, they're coaches, they, you know, are raising a family, all the things that we do, we will tend to minimize the impact of things that happen to us in our life at times, where we just think we should be able to carry on and everything should be fine. And so it is interesting. When I first started in coaching coaches, I started with a lot of, like, conversations to understand people's stories, because I was really working on helping them with their messaging and their ideal customer and different things like that. But what was always uncovered is that there was usually some sort of event, and it didn't have to, it could be one way or the other, right? Like, it could be sometimes it maybe was a more traumatic event, or it could be the opposite, that there was nothing crazy that happened, but it leaves something in your soul of an imprint that you're either trying to repeat, because this is what you had as childhood and it was so great that you're just trying to repeat it, or sometimes the opposite, that there was like this, there's some, you know, some sort of scarring or trauma there that you're just trying to avoid it. So I always think it's interesting when those stories sort of come up, because I think a lot of us as highly functioning individuals can try to, not try to suppress it, but we're like, no, like, we don't even think about it as something that can impact how we feel on the day to day. But if not uncovered, then it doesn't just go away. Like, right. It needs to be, you know, unpacked. And so it's like, give yourself some grace and think about those things, because sometimes they can have, you know, it's part of that recovery as you move forward. Yeah. And like, one other thing, my sister has, she's a doctor. So we often talk about this stuff, and she talks about the biggest, like, traumas in life, right? Which are, you know, losing someone you love, divorce, losing a pet. Like, there's this rank of things that can happen. And usually, like, anything you've described is like at the top there of those most impactful things. So it's always of interest to me to make sure that people recognize that we do have these big things that happen, and we just sometimes move past them like they're no big deal, but they will sometimes catch up to us. So I think it's an interesting point that you brought up there. So in terms of how you had this turnaround then and what actually transpired, when you did start to tune into this and how you were feeling and this need for change, what were the things that actually started, that you started doing to create this change in your life?
Yeah. So it's funny you'd mentioned having a little bit of grace, because that was one of the first things I had to do, was give grace to others and to myself. And the spot where my anger would flare up the quickest and easiest would be when I was driving. And someone would cut me off, and I would just get so mad, like road rage type of person, and just be so angry about it. And as I started to explore, like, okay, what does happiness look like? I want to be happy. What are my current habits that are inhibiting me from being happier? I realized that I jumped to anger the quickest in the car. So I was like, I'm just going to focus there first. Mm-hmm. So when I was driving, what I would realize is somebody cut me off, it actually wasn't about them. I was in such a space of victimhood and entitlement that when they would cut me off, my brain would immediately go, I was going too slow, or I was driving incorrectly, or whatever. And I wanted to be perfect, because if I was perfect, then I could, quote unquote, be happy, which wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. But I started to unpack that mindset and those beliefs. And so I would then change when somebody cut me off. I would be like, okay, it's not personal to me. Maybe their wife is having a baby and they're running to the hospital. Or maybe they haven't had a job for 6 months and they were caught in traffic behind, like, way back there. And so now they're trying to make up the time so they're not late to an interview. And I would tell myself these stories to give people grace and to also not take it personally, which in turn allowed me to give grace to myself, because I would immediately jump to previous, how bad of a driver I was, or if I was doing something wrong, which I didn't like because that felt vulnerable and weak and like I was wrong. So then I'd get angry to defend it and try to blame and push that out on the other driver. So nothing ever happened that like outside of my car, of course, but I was just like, okay, I need to adjust this. So by giving grace to other people, I also realized that for that to work, I had to give grace to myself. And just by starting those little habits of, well, maybe that person's doing this, maybe that person's going here and making up these stories about the other drivers, that allowed me to have that grace that I needed to start to expand and look at my mindsets more deeply. So that's like the first thing that I did that really, really helped me understand where I was coming from and give me the space to explore it without an expectation of perfection.
Yeah, it's interesting. It comes back to something I've heard before called the six sources of influence. And so what this is, they actually teach it in crucial accountability training, which is the idea, of course, of holding a conversation safely with someone else. And so the idea that you're explaining, super interesting that you just figured this out and were able to implement it in your life, because it's this, the six sources of influence is this idea that we naturally jump to when somebody cuts us off in traffic or something like that. Like, you know, the first thing that goes through your head is usually like for most people, like, oh, that idiot, or like they call it the fundamental attribution error, because it's fundamental. Like most people make it, it's like their brain doesn't slow down to actually take the steps to say what just happened there and to go through the other five sources of influence to say, oh, like, what are the other reasons this person could be choosing this action? And this happens all the time with, you know, like family members and people we work with. And we can, it's like the jump to conclusion, Matt, you know, of like easy to jump to that person's an idiot. They're dumb. They don't care. They, you know, they're not motivated to whatever it is that, you know, we want them to be motivated to do. So that's amazing that that was like your process of, you know, figuring that out.
Thank you.
Love
yeah.
Love that.
I like to teach a method based off of my learnings from that called CLEAR, which stands for circumstance, language, emotion, action, and results. Mm-hmm. The thought being that the circumstance, whatever it is neutral, but it's the language you use that almost instantaneously feeds your emotions, which feeds your actions, which feeds your results. And by being able to work up or forwards or backwards through that model, retroactively, in most cases, when I first started out, now I can kind of do it on the fly. But the language that you just said, like, oh, this person's an idiot, all these things, it invokes the emotion of anger or resentment or whatever that is, which then leads to actions where you're like, well, if you were me, I'm going to go and zoom around them and prove them wrong and like all these other things and show them, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of thing. And then the results of that is maybe I get a speeding ticket down the road because I was angry about them, or something else happens, or even just my day, I'm angry throughout the rest of it because every time I think about that driver, I'm mad. Well, if I can work that backwards, I can see that my language was the thing that facilitated all of that. So yeah. If I can transition that to a different space and go, okay, so let's change the language, let's change the narrative, the story, the meaning to this, then I can change all the rest and go about my day.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. And so from there, from discovering this and changing that behavior, how did that lead to what you teach now? And can you tell us a little bit more about what you do teach and how you work with clients to help, you know, down the road, avoid burnout and avoid these things that tend to come up?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest component here is habits, right? My mindset was habitual. My actions were habitual. Everything going back to like those traumatic moments, I was moving past them and creating habits so I didn't have to look at them. So to put that stake in the ground and say, all right, I want to be happy. It's in my control. What can I do to change it? I had to look at my habits and change those. And so that started with driving and habitually, what am I saying around other drivers and working backwards from there. But also that's what I help my clients do now is what are your current habits that aren't serving you? And what are the habits that we can put into place to serve you? And part of that is, as many of us here, right, high drive individuals, we're entrepreneurs, we're community members, we're spouses, we're all of these things and we're managing all of them. But there's also this expectation attached to it that if I hit these certain points, then I'm going to be successful. And somehow in our mind, that equates to happiness versus mm-hmm. happiness equaling success the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I like to do is I work with my clients and helping them understand their current habits, establish happiness habits that can help support them, and also taking a look at that so that their life, when they are high drive — it's not saying you don't have to be high drive. I'm not one of those people who's like, and now that you've been high drive for so long and you're unhappy, we're going to take all of that, throw it in the garbage, and you need to be one with the universe. I am not that way. My brain does not work that way. I'm sure yours doesn't either. Like, we've worked hard. These are things that we want in our life. It's just a matter of how do we connect the dots to be happier? Mm. And in that case, that's when you look at things like avoiding burnout and the habits that surround that. So for many of my clients, what we do is we walk through the five arenas of self-care, which mm-hmm. are physical, spiritual, emotional, social, and intellectual. And as for many of your audience, I'm sure, and you especially, like, the physical component, you guys have handled. But for so many of us, that's what we always think self-care is. And especially in our day and age of social media, where self-care is like all over Pinterest and get a bath bomb or go to a spa day or do things like that. It is the working out. It is setting yourself up for success long-term and taking care of yourself in the long run. But those other areas and components are just as important, right? So the societal, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, what do you need to do to take care of yourself? An understanding of where you fall in that line, or if you're an ambivert, right? Where do you get your energy and where do you drop flat? But also, where do you need to put things in place, right? So if you are an introvert, that's totally fine. You get re-energized by being alone. But if you're alone for too long, then you start to get in your own head and you start to go backwards. So setting up yourself like once a week, a time to connect with a friend or something like that, can be a form of social or societal self-care. Extroverts the other way around, right? You get your energy from being with other people. So when you are alone, that's a form of self-care in a way, where you can figure out who you are without other people and then set up the time frames to be like, okay, I need some time alone. It's almost like the opposites, but you need to know who you are and your habits and set yourself up for success there. And also, like, if you're alone all the time, that can be a burnout. If you're with other people all the time, that can be a burnout. And so it's setting yourself up with either it's calendaring or whatever that may be to allow yourself to have those societal connections in the way that works best for you. Intellectual, that's continuing courses, that's learning, growing, improving, because as humans, and we all know this, but if we are feeling overly comfortable, we start to feel like we're stagnating. And when we stagnate, we start to feel like everybody's moving past us and we're moving backwards, which is detrimental to our happiness. So continuing to improve intellectually, to learn and to grow as a human, is part of human nature and a big piece of our happiness, while still balancing the fact that, like, I can be learning something every day and it can be small. I don't need to jump in and take 6 courses as a form of self-care, right? Mm-hmm. There's balance to all of it. And of course, emotional, and this is my favorite, emotional self-care. We talked about how we all have a tendency to just run past the traumatic things and just keep on going, keep on going. Well, that's a surefire way for burnout. Emotional self-care is this idea and concept of expression versus suppression. So how do you express in a healthy way your emotions? And that's as simple as looking at them and going, okay, even if it's taking 10 seconds and slowing down in the middle of the day, have it on your calendar, habitual, right? 10 seconds ago, okay, what am I feeling right now? Okay, I'm feeling this way. Why am I feeling that way? Oh, there's a couple of reasons. Okay, and then you could move on past that, but that in its own way is a form of self-care, because you're expressing and identifying how you feel versus just being like, nope, I can't, no time, can't do that right now. And those emotions, the more you suppress them, the more they fill you up. And sooner or later, the suppression of those emotions is going to overflow and you are going to have a burnout. You're going to have a fall or whatever you want to call it, if you're not expressing those in a healthy way. So self-care is that emotional management, that emotional awareness, and that emotional understanding. And I'm not saying to wallow in them, but it's an identification, an understanding of why, and then working through those emotions in a healthy way so you can come back to the other side of the spectrum, the positive side, and feel refreshed and empowered versus drained and just trying to sustain. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is spiritual, which is this concept of whether it's religion or spirituality, there is a component of self-care where it's you identifying to your highest power. Now, I don't care what that is. That could be your highest version of yourself. That could be a mountain over there. That could be God. That could be Buddha. Doesn't matter. It's this idea and concept that this is a time, spiritual self-care and implementing that into your life is a time where you can reconnect to your purpose, your highest being, whatever that is, and continue to move forward without this constant, I'm going to say it's the carrot and the whip, right? For so many of us, we're whipping ourselves to try and get to where we want to go, where instead when you have spiritual self-care, it's more like the carrot and you are enjoying the journey as you go versus getting whipped and then hitting the top of the mountain and being like, is this all there is? And feeling drained and then feeling even more of that burnout.
It is interesting. I think in the health and fitness world, there is that tendency to associate that physical journey with, you know, that takes care of everything. And, you know, no matter what, doesn't matter if you're in the health and fitness industry or not, you have days that you don't always feel like working out. That's not, you know, but you've made it a habit. Like you've been, you know, like you're laying out the foundation for us. It's all about those habits that you form. But when you look at all those dimensions, it makes sense why there can be lots of gaps for people, because we focus on one and we think, well, if I'm just this way, it'll fix everything. But there's so many other components to it. So I love how you laid that out. That's, yeah, very easy to understand and easy to take action on. So Taylor, where's the best place for people to find you, connect with you, and learn more about you?
Yeah. You had mentioned earlier, I have my own podcast called Happiness Abound. So it's on most major podcast listening platforms. You can check me out there. We also have a website, happinessabound.com. And then I also have a free Facebook group, Happiness Abounders, where we do challenges regularly, free challenges to jumpstart your happiness.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I so appreciate your insight and everything that you shared with our listeners today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
And now some fun news for fitness leaders. Our Find Your People, Fill Your Programs challenge is coming up soon. If you're a health or fitness influencer and you're struggling to figure out what to post that will help you find your people online, you won't want to miss this. Over 5 fun days, we'll send you a fresh, daily, done-for-you social media template to quickly edit and use immediately. These templates, all written by a professional copywriter to inspire curiosity, have been shown to boost engagement as much as 80%. The best part is we'll be doing it all live and together in our private business bootcamp for fitness coaches Facebook group, and it's totally free. Join thousands of like-minded health and fitness influencers, access exclusive trainings on fitness business and marketing topics, see how others are using their social media templates effectively, grab more templates and inspo to make your socials more effective ASAP, and more. The party kicks off on October 19th. Just go to ashleyshaw.ca/challenge to join us. Trust me, you won't want to miss this. Let's supercharge your socials together over 5 incredible days. The place to sign up is ashleyshaw.ca/challenge. Go now before you forget and kick yourself for missing this.